Okay, we are picking up on the bottom of Hey Amud Aleph. We are the last line on the Amud. It says, so the Gemara was talking about, which is kind of like a new thing now. The Mishnah talked about the fact that there was a concept of postponing Tisha B'Av. So now we're going to go into that a little bit. So the Gemara, the Brisa says, there was a story that took place. Some Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Hanina, Rebbe Natan Atiyah B'Purim. Rebbe planted a tree on Purim, turning now to Hey Amud Beis. So, what happened? V'rachatz b'krona shel tzipori b'shivas b'tamas, and he took a bath in the bathhouses on the market day in Tzipori, where everyone was able to see him. Not everyone was able to see him doing it, but everyone saw that he was going to the bathhouse to go take a bath on shivas b'tamas. V'vikesh lakor Tisha B'Av, and he wanted to abolish Tisha B'Av. V'lo hodulach and Nacham did not agree with him when it came to abolishing Tisha B'Av. So we're going to see what does it mean that he wanted to abolish Tisha B'Av. So I'm the fun of Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. So Rabbi Abba Zavda said to Rabbi Lazar, he says, Rebbe, lo kacha yamaisa. It wasn't that he wanted to abolish Tisha B'Av of every single year that was taking place. Ela Tisha B'Av shechal yos b'Shabbos hava. That year that he did it was Tisha B'Av had fallen out on Shabbos. Utchin hu la'achra Shabbos, and it was already being postponed to Sunday. And Rebbe says, v'amar Rebbe, hov v'nidcha yidcha. Once we already pushed it off from Shabbos, we should push it off completely. Lo horu chacham. So the Mefarshim explained, Rebbe did not want to abolish Tisha B'Av completely. But Tisha B'Av, there's four major Tanaisim that we have. Shavas B'Tamas, Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Teves, and Tzom Gedalia. And Tisha B'Av is, besides Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av is stricter than all the other Yom Tov, and that it has all the Enum, all the things that we do that we don't do on other fast days. We don't bathe, wearing shoes, etc. There's other things you're not allowed to do. So Rebbe was saying, once we're pushing off Tisha B'Av, that we're not fasting on Tisha B'Av anymore, so fine, so we're pushing it off to Sunday, and we're still going to fast, but he wanted to make it that it should be on the same level as all the other fasts that we have, like let's say it's Shavuot B'Tamuz, that all you're doing is you're not eating and drinking. Lo horo chacham, the chacham did not agree to him. So kari alei. So when Rabbi Lazar heard this from Abba Bar Zavda, he said the pasuk tov mashinayim in a echad, that it's better to have two than one. Meaning that if I would have just gone with what I had learned, I would have thought that it meant that Rebbe wanted to completely do away with Tisha B'Av. But you explained to me what the situation was, and I understand it better, which is the same concept. When you're learning in a shir, you know, a lot of times if you're learning by yourself, you think you have an understanding with the Gemara, and then you learn in a shir with other people, you get more clarification as you're going through it together because you're able, or with Chavrusa, because you're able to, you know, you're able to sound it out better when you have someone else you're bouncing ideas off of. Okay, so Gemara talks about now, so we said that Rebbe planted a tree on Purim. So Gemara asks, Rebbe, heichi natza natiya b'Purim. How did Rebbe plant a tree on Purim? But Tanya Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef says in the Braisa, it says in the Megillah, simcha u'mishtav yamtiv. It says in the Pasuk that they were supposed to have, there was happiness, and there was mishta, and there was yamtiv. And what does that mean? Simcha, when it says in the Pasuk simcha, that means, malamich shasurim behesped, it tells you that on the days of Purim, again, and we're going to see which day of Purim we're talking about, meaning the 14th, the 14th, and 15th, etc. So, and Simcha tells you that you're not allowed to have Hespedim on Purim. Mishta, and when it says that there was that you're not allowed to, that Mishta, what does that mean? Malamit Shasa B'Tainis, that they were not able to fast. And Yomtiv Malamit Shasa B'Tzias Malacha, and Yomtiv teaches you that you're not allowed to do work on Purim. So therefore, how could Rebbe plant a tree on Purim? That's considered to be Malacha, and he shouldn't, and theoretically he shouldn't be able to plant the tree on Purim. So Gemara says, Ella Rebbe Bar Arbeser Hava. Rebbe was someone who celebrated, who observed Purim on the 14th because he lived in an unwalled city, and v'chinata v'chameser tanta. And when he planted the tree, he planted it on the 15th. So therefore, it wasn't an issue. The malacha he wouldn't do on Purim itself. This was the 15th when the walled cities were celebrating Purim. So then he was able to do malacha. So Gemara questions now, Aini, is it so that Rebbe was someone that, how can you say that Rebbe was someone that celebrated Purim on the 14th and not the 15th? But Rebbe b'Tveria Hava, Rebbe lived in Tveria, b'Tveria mukefes chomi, most Yeshua ben Nun havia. And Tveria was a city that was walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, and as we know, if it was walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun, it means that they observed Purim on what day? On the 15th. So how could he go ahead and plant on the 15th, how could he say that he was someone that was a 14er, or whatever you want to call it, if he lived in Tveria, which was the 15th? Gemara says, El Rebbe Bar Chameser Hava, you're right. He was someone that observed Purim on the 15th. V'chinata Bar Beis Hava, and when he planted the tree, He did it on the 14th. So Gemara asks now, Mi pshitalei, the Tveria Mukafis Chomi Mosim Yeshua Benon, is it for a certainty that Tveria was a city that had walls already from the times of Yeshua? But Chizki Akari B'Tveria Barbeis V'Chameser. Chizki was unsure because Misafkalei Mukafis Chomi Mios Yeshua Benon Hilo. Chizki would read on the 14th and the 15th in Tveria because he wasn't sure whether or not the city of Tveria had walls from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So how could you say that Rebbe was able to go ahead and he lived in Tveria, so he did only on the 15th? In Tveria, there was a question what it was, so the 14th and the 15th, you shouldn't be able to do Malacha. So my answer is, it's not a problem. Chizki misafkalei, the Rebbe pshitalei. Chizki was unsure what day, you know, whether Tveria was walled or not. Rebbe was sure, so Rebbe doesn't have to hold like Chizki. Rebbe is a Tana. He can argue, and he can have his own, his own thoughts on the subject. So he felt that Tveria, he was sure, was a city that had been surrounded by walls since the days of Yeshua, and therefore he planted on the 14th, and he was okay with, and he observed Purim on the 15th. So Gemara asks now, but even so, even if you say that Rebbe was sure that Tveria was a walled city, and therefore they observed on the 15th, Mishari, then is he allowed to plant on the 14th? But Ksiv Megillas Tainus, it says Megillas Tainus, which was a book of which we don't observe, we don't have it anymore, but it said, it's Yom Arba Asar, it's Yom Chamisha Asar, it said on the 14th and the 15th, Yom Pur Ya'inun, they're the days of Purim, to La Mitzvah B'Hon, that we don't have a spade in, V'amar Rav, and Rav said, Lo Nitzcha El Asar As Shal Zabizeh. It's so that Megillah's Tainus is telling you that whatever you don't do on the one, you don't do on the other one. So therefore, Shal Zabizeh, you don't do, again, vice versa. So if so, how can you say that Rebbe observed only on the 15th because he was sure that Tveria was a walled city, and therefore he planted on the 14th? But in Megillah's Tainus, we see that the people would be, they would accept upon themselves to not do either one on the 14th and on the 15th. So Gemara answers, Haini Mili Behaspid of a Tainus, they only accepted not to do hespedim and not to fast on those 2 days. Ava malacha yom echad v'sula. But for as far as work goes, they only accepted, it was too much for them to accept upon themselves not to work for 2 days. So they only accepted not to work on the day that was actually Purim for them, and that was it. When I ask again, Aini v'harav chazila hu gavra dava koshari kista b'puria. Rav saw that there was a man that was, he was sowing flax on Purim. V'latia, and he cursed him out. So Avilot Tzamach Kisne, and his flax didn't grow. Now, why did he curse him if he was doing it on it? If it's not a problem with they only accepted not fasting and not giving hespedim, not fasting. They only accepted that they don't fast and they don't give hespedim. But it's not a problem to do work. So why do you have a problem with that? Some more answers. Hasan bar Yomahava. When Rav saw this person planting the flax seed, it was the day for him that was Purim. So everyone agrees that on that day you're not allowed to do any work. So therefore, that's why he gave him a curse, and that's why the flax didn't grow. Okay, another reason why we say that Rebbe was able to now plant on Purim. What?
Is it on the same level?
Is what on the same level?
Say the other day.
So it's a machlokas about working on Purim. That's in general. You see that even today you see that's still a question about working on Purim.
The other day
is not a problem. The Gemara agrees that the other day is not a problem. Meaning, if someone observes Purim on the 14th, he lives in an unwalled city, so for him it's the 14th, everyone seems to agree that on the 15th, you could do work. That's not a problem. It's just the Hespid and the Tanesin that we say that they don't do. But it's just the work. Okay. Rabba Bredra, Rabba Amar, Afilu Tema B'yome, you could even say that Rebbe planted on the day of what was for him for Purim. So if so, how was he able? So how was he able to do it? And the Gemara answers because Hespid of Tain is Kabbalah Laya, because according to this Shita, they only accepted, like we were just asking, they only accepted upon themselves the Tainus and the Hespid, Lachalo Kiblo Laya. But according to this Shita, they did not accept, even on the day of Purim itself, they did not accept to stop doing work. So therefore, he was able to do it. To make Karak Siv, because in the beginning of the Pasuk, it says in the Megillah, Simcha Mishta V'yamtif, those three, which again we learned out was, fasting, not giving a spade in, and to not work. But later on, towards the end of the Megillah, it says, "Lasso some you may mishta v'simcha v'il yamtif loksiv." It doesn't say yamtif, which is where we learn out that you have to treat it like a yamtif that you can't work, so therefore it's not a problem. So if that's the case, v'larav my time of lai to lahu gavra. So if that was the case that it's okay for someone to do work on Purim, so why did Rav give a curse to the person that was planting the flax? Why he's able to do work. So my answer is Dvarim Hamutarim Bachayim Nagu Behen Isser Hava. Because was it something where it's a dover that it's you're able to do it, but if everyone in the city accepts upon themselves that they're not going to do it, which Purim is one of those times, there are cities that accept it upon themselves that even though it's technically mutter to do work, but we're accepting that we're not going to do work on Purim. So this person was planting the flax, that was planting the flax, he was living in a city that they had accepted upon themselves that they weren't going to do work on Purim, and he still planted on Purim. So therefore, he cursed them. But where Rebbe planted the tree, he was living in a city where they did not accept upon themselves to do it. So therefore, it wasn't an issue. And then Gemara gives another answer why he was able to do it. Really, we're talking about a place that even Rebbe was in a place where they had accepted upon themselves that they were not going to do any work on Purim. So if so, how was he able to plant? Rebbe Natiya Shel Simcha Nata, he was planting a planting of joy. And the Gemara is going to explain now what that planting of joy is. Could it not, like we learned in the Mishnah in Tainus, Avru Elu V'lo Nanu, the Gemara in Tainus talks about, or the Mishnah in Tainus talks about, and it goes into, that if they didn't get the rains by certain dates, so again, remember, in Eretz Yisrael, they're an agricultural society, so they're extremely dependent on the rain. So if it doesn't rain there, it's a really big problem. So if by certain target dates, if it hadn't rained, so they would be gozer, they would decree to have fasts, a series of fasts, that first some people of the Jewish people had to do it, and then eventually the whole community had to do it. So one of the things that we said, that Avru Elav Lo Nanu, if let's say they had these fasts had passed, and they still, the rain had not yet fallen, so what do? They would start doing less business. Bebinyan Uvinatiya, they would start doing less building and less planting. Berusin Uvisun, they would do less engagements and weddings. V'tana Allah, we learned over there, when it says binyan, what does it mean, binyan? Binyan shel simcha, they would not do a binyan shel simcha, and a tiyan a tiyan shel simcha. And what? So first of all, what's a binyan? So Rashi says, actually the Gemara is going to say, and then Rashi explains it, a tiyan a tiyan simcha, ezu binyan shel simcha, what is considered a binyan of simcha? Zeh bona bayis chasnas lebno, that's someone who builds a house of chasana for his son, that the minhag was in those days, probably a little bit better than what we do now, is that instead of throwing these big gala affairs when someone would get married and they would spend thousands and thousands of dollars, even in a package deal, it still costs a lot of money. What they would do is that for the firstborn, the father would build a house that was like that would have the chuppah in it, and it was also a place that his son was going to be able to live. So that's what they would use with their funds. So that's considered to be a binyan shel simcha. And ezu netiya, that's the tiyah shel simcha. Zenotea avnukah shel malachim. That was talking about there was a, they would plant these plants that would kind of get intertwined with these wooden structures. And what that was a place that the kings were able to sit in the summertime. They were able to eat in the shade of these plants. So that's considered to be a binyan shel simcha. So that's what you're able to, that's what they would stop doing. But regular binyan, they would still do, still engage in regular commerce that they had to do. So Rebbe was able to plant the tree still because the only things that they stopped doing was the binyan of Simcha. And therefore he was able to do it. The other way. They stopped doing regular business for a binyan of Simcha that they would be doing, and Rebbe was planting a binyan shel Simcha, and that's how he was able to do it. Okay, Gemara says, Agufa, so now we're going to talk about, and now for the next blot, or let's say a minute and a half solid. It's going to go into different cities. It's going to talk about Tveria. So we're going to start with Gufa, Chizkiya Kari, B'Tveria, Barbeis V'Chameser. He would read the Megillah in Tveria on the 14th and the 15th. We said that. Because Misafkalei, Imukefes Chom, Imos Yeshua Benun, he wasn't sure whether or not there was a wall surrounding Tveria. So what was the question with Tveria? Omi Misafkalei, B'Milsa Tveria. Why was there a question about Tveria? V'Aksiv, V'Arei Mitzar Hatzidim, Tzer V'Chamas, Rakas V'Kinares. That these cities were fortified from the times of Yeshua, the Kaimalon, Rakas Zutaveria. That Rakas, which is one of the cities that's mentioned, which the Gemara in the next Amud is going to say why it was called that was Tveria. So if so, why was Chizkiya in question? Whether it was the 14th or 15th, we see that the Pasuk says Beferish that it was a fortified city going back to Yeshua that was Rakas, and we say that's Tveria. So Gemara says, Hainu time with the Misafkale. This is the reason why he was in doubt. Mishum Dechad Gisa Shura Diyamahava, because there's and actually, I had emailed, Eli Stefanski has great pictures, like visuals for this stuff. So I emailed him to see, or America's Daf Yomi, to see if I could borrow their pictures that they have. Because like it's very clear. There's if you look at a picture of Tveria, one of the sides of Tveria is a wall. The other side, it's surrounded by the sea. So it's not. So the Gemara is saying. So it wasn't sure so because it had. It's not completely surrounded by stone. That was a question whether or not it's considered to be walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. So ihachi amai misafkali. What's the question? Vaday lav chomi. It's for sure not considered a wall. If you're saying that one side is water, that's not considered a wall. The Tanya, because we learned ashelo chomi. We had this Gemara a couple of blot ago, which says that the pasuk says which has a wall. Below shor igar means it doesn't have a wall of houses. Saviv, what does it mean when it says the pasuk surrounding pratla tveria shiyama chamasa, not to exclude tveria, that its walls are, that it's surrounded by water. This is again referring to the concept of if someone sells a house. So the question was how long after you sell the house in Eretz Yisrael are you able to go back and I don't know if renege on the sale is the right word, but you're able to take back you're able to take the house back. So we said it depends what's going on. It depends if it has a wall or not. So but we see over there it says explicitly that Tveria is excluded because it has one side that's surrounded by water. So why do you have a question? So Gemara says, this is what the question was. As far as the question of whether it's a walled city, Chizkia was sure that Tveria is considered to be an unwalled city because it has water surrounding it. It was a question about reading the Megillah, though. That my prazim and my mukafin, because when we use the words prazim and mukafin, how are we defining those two words? So, Dechsiv Gavi Mirka Megillah. Mishum Dahani Miglu, do we say that it's because they're open, Vahani Lo Miglu, and the unwalled cities are not open, so therefore that's why that's the differentiation, and therefore Vahanami Miglains, therefore Tveria is exposed because it doesn't have a wall, it only has water. O Dilma Mishum Dahani Mignu Vahani Lo Mignu. Maybe it has to do with, as it's not a question of if there's a physical wall that's there. It has a question of is how protected is it? Because again, it's all going back to Shushan, that Shushan was a walled city, and it was a question of that they had another day that they were able to fight because they were better fortified. So the question is, maybe it's because they have better protection, and that's why they would celebrate on the 15th. Bahani lo migno, and these aren't protected. Bahanami migna, and over here in Tveria, because it was surrounded by water, it would be considered to be, it was protected. So therefore, Mishum Hachim Isafkulay, therefore, that's why you had a question whether or not it was considered to be the 14th or the 15th. Let's do one more piece of Gemara. Ravasi Kari Megillah B'Hutzol Barbeisar V'Chameisar. Ravasi would read the Megillah in Hutzol, which was a city that was on the border on the 14th and the 15th. V'Safkalei Mukefes Chomei Yemos Yeshua Benun Hiolo. He wasn't sure whether or not it had a walled city from the time of Yeshua or not. Ika the Amar Amar Ravasi Hai Hutzol the Beis Binyamin Mukefes Chomei Yemos Yeshua Hi, that it has a wall from the times of Yeshua Benun, and therefore they would read the Megillah on the 15th. Okay, we will stop here. Tomorrow night, I'll post it on the chat, but I think it's going to depend. If Rabbi Silber is giving his Hilchos Shabbos shiur in here, then I would imagine that we're going to be in here. And if he's giving it in the new building, then I would imagine we're going to be in the new building. So I will.